Welcome to The Toolbox with our hosts, Joe Mangi and
the Raven.
Buckle up and get ready. You're not going to want to miss a single second of this.
You're listening to 97.7 WVFF. This is The Toolbox. And I'm your host. What the heck's my name? Joe Mangi. And I'm here with my co-host, The Raven. And today we're talking about just how these manufacturers are portraying us. It's terrible.
Portraying or betraying?
Betraying? All right, let's just say there's some cool cars that like Ford makes that they don't sell them to us.
Yes, that's betraying.
But first, I got some automotive news. I'm not even going to read it straight off the head. You know
straight
why?
Straight off the dome.
You know why? Because it's about a Ford Ranger.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
They have announced the Ford Ranger Super Duty. I have no idea what that means. I think it
What's going to be the difference between their Super Duty and the other Super Duty that's been around for years?
So, they're still keeping the F-Series Super Duty.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone with a Ranger knows there is no towing capacity. There's no cap for how much you could haul with a Ranger.
I've seen you haul.
There is no limit. Your F450 can only tow, you know what, 15,000 pounds, 20,000 pounds. Ford Ranger, it
you pull anything until the bed rips off
and still keep going. Yeah. I've never seen a Ranger not be able to tow something.
Yeah. Yeah, so why make it a Super Duty?
Yeah, so imagine what the Super Duty's gonna do.
Be able to pull a train.
Towing capacity, yes.
Unlimited.
But yeah, that's the only news I had. Do you get any news? How's everyone doing today? I think we're doing all right.
We're doing pretty good.
But yeah, today's topic is we're talking about Ford. And like Ford makes some cool stuff. You know, they got like Mustangs and they got Shelbys. They got Raptors and Broncos and all that. But there's some cool stuff that Ford makes that they don't sell to us here in America.
How dare they?
I'm going to start off with the Ford Ranger Raptor. Today's episode is just Ranger it out.
Yeah.
And you might be thinking, what? We don't get that? They've been I should probably actually read the stuff I have typed out. Ford Ranger Raptor is a high-performance variant of the Ford Ranger pickup truck. Introduced in 2018 for the global market, but that doesn't include the United States. The engine is a 2-liter bi-turbo. I think that means two. Producing 213 horsepower, which isn't a whole lot, but 369 foot-pounds of torque.
Jeez.
Which is, that's crazy for a 2-liter.
Yeah.
They also offer a 3.2-liter inline 5 diesel. Comes with Fox Racing shocks with increased ground clearance and improved articulation.
Mm-hmm.
Full-wheel drive, of course, as different terrain modes and all that. And being a Raptor, it has aggressive exterior styling. It has fender flares and different bumpers and cool badges.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's see. Performance and capabilities. The Ranger Raptor is designed for serious off-roading with features like we said, increased ground clearance, improved approach and departure angles, enhanced suspension, which is exactly what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't type any of this. I had AI do it, so y'all bear with me.
We Googled again.
Yeah, we did. We Googled it because we're lazy.
Well, I went back and edited mine to flow.
I edited mine too, but
you
I'm not.
Copied and pasted.
I'm not a good editor. I don't understand why they don't offer this in the U.S. They sell the Ranger.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, didn't we have a Raptor?
We have an F-150 Raptor.
Yeah, so why wouldn't they just sell the Ranger Raptor?
We have a Bronco Raptor.
We have all the parts.
We literally do. The Bronco is based on the Ranger, and they have a Bronco Raptor, So just put them together.
Yeah.
Like you already do and then sell it here. I don't understand.
That'd make too much sense.
I also have like a little bonus one, but I couldn't find any information on this.
What was it called?
I don't know.
Well, no wonder you couldn't find any information.
So, well,
this
I think...
This is how he tells me how to Google things. So we talk about, the day before, we always discuss, okay, what are we going to talk about? And like, okay, give me that in the form of a question I can research. I don't know how to do that now.
All I'm saying, so they make, and everyone listening is going to be like, yeah, of course they make that. But no, this is back in the olden times. This is like 2003.
Babe, that is not olden times.
That's over 20 years ago. So like the original Rangers,
uh-huh.
You know, like the 03s, in Mexico, they had a crew cab version of it. Mm-hmm. 4 full-size doors really? In Mexico.
Was it a full bed?
Yeah, 6-foot bed.
Jeez.
How come we didn't get that? I tried Googling it, but I guess I need Google Premium or something. They don't tell me nothing. They don't tell me nothing on it. They don't even tell me what years, but I want to say it's like a 98 to like 03-ish, that generation, the round one.
So you're calling me olden times because I was born in 98.
Yes, you're old.
Not as old as you.
That's friendly fire will not be tolerated.
Don't start nothing, you can't finish.
Well, yeah, I couldn't find any specs on the early 2000 crew cab Ranger, only sold in Mexico, but it drives me insane. Because, once again, they sell the Ranger here.
You can't get a full bed here in America. If it comes and with 4 doors, it's going to have a 4-foot bed. That's it.
But they made it. And what do they give us in the States?
The 4-foot bed.
No. Well, yeah, they gave us a sport track. Yeah. Like, that's not even a truck.
No.
The three people driving sport tracks are furious right now. They're saying, how dare you?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Like, you make it. I believe the only reason why we didn't get it in the States is for safety reasons. Because I guess being 4-door, being...
That's too much power for rednecks.
I mean...
The amount of things they could fill in a bed of a pickup like that...
It's perfect. Limitless. Like, why wouldn't they sell that? Let's just put, like, an airbag in it.
The amount of people they could put in there. They don't need airbags. So says the guy without airbags as well. You don't need airbags.
You don't need airbags. But don't crash if you have them. If you do have airbags, feel free. If you don't have airbags, don't crash. It's illegal.
If you don't have airbags, at least have seatbelts, people. Let's put some common sense into this. If you don't have one, at least have the other.
Yes.
Oh, is it my turn?
Your turn.
Okay. So we're starting off with the Ford Falcon. This Australian Ford Falcon was produced from 1960s until about 2016, spanning 7 generations.
7 generations of the Ford Falcon, and we got one.
So they stopped making them in 2016, but they still sell these Ford Falcons.
I want one.
Initially, the Falcon was introduced in Australia as the same model sold in the U.S., so they started off as the exact same.
Okay.
But Ford later developed specialized Australian models, like ones that are only found in Australia now. And they had many unique versions, again, only offered in Australia. The Australian Falcon lineup included sedans, wagons, utes, or utility vehicles.
Whoa. What's a ute?
A utility vehicle.
It's like an El Camino.
Basically,
If you think of an El Camino, that's what a ute is.
And what an El Camino is, for people who don't know what an El Camino is, it's basically a sports car with the bed of a pickup attached to it.
Yeah.
It goes stupid fast, and you can carry lumber.
Like, party in the front, business in the back.
Yeah, it's like the American mullet.
Reverse mullet. Yeah, and like every 2 years on Facebook, someone like does an AI version of an El Camino, and they're like, "Oh, this is coming soon." It's like they make them. Like they just don't sell them here.
Yeah, we have these now. The Falcon Ute was a unique model not sold in the U.S., which has been the subject of interest amongst car enthusiasts. ergo yourself.
Like me.
Who really want it back in the U.S. The cultural significance for the Ford Falcon holds a special place, not only in Australia, but in all automotive cultures. There's very few places where you can say Ford Falcon and someone doesn't know what you're talking
about. Someone will go, hell yeah!
Yeah, pretty much. With many enthusiasts modifying and racing these vehicles throughout the years.
So rad.
While the U.S. has its own Ford Falcon from 1960s until 1970s, the Australian models went the distance and not only sold in America. The Australian Falcons were often associated with the V8 engines, whereas the U.S. models only had a limited range of engine options.
Yeah.
So like, well, all the Australian Utes only came with V8s.
They make V8 Rancheros and... 2010 and they didn't sell them here?
They only put V8s in them. They didn't put anything less than that.
They did? Oh, no, I think some Falcons had the Barra.
In Australia, they didn't.
That's a topic for another day.
Yeah, my research said that all the Australians got V8s.
All the Australians got the cool stuff.
They needed high powers to outrun the emus.
Because they're a bunch of prisoners.
What?
That's how Australia started.
Oh, as a prison?
Yeah. Britain was like...
They fighting the emus?
Nah, Britain was like, we're not going to make a jail. We're just going to put them...
So wait, was this before or after the war with the emus, though?
Before.
Before the emu?
Yeah, the emu war. Well, here we go. All right. We're going off topic.
We are off topic.
Here's another... All my stuff is Ranger-based.
Yes, we know.
So, the Ford Everest.
Mm-hmm.
The Ford Everest is a mid-sized... SUV produced by Ford, primarily for the Asian and Australian markets. Why do the Australians get cool stuff? It's based on the Ford Ranger pickup truck platform.
Because they use their country as a
prison. It shares many of its mechanical components. It's a 5-door SUV,
mm-hmm.
7-seater. Engine has different, you get gas or diesel. Transmissions, 6-speed manual, which is rad in a current SUV. Like, they sell this. You can buy them new as long as you're not in America. You get a 6-speed manual or a 10-speed auto, four-wheel drive, luxurious features like leather seats, infotainment, and advanced safety features that it doesn't tell me what it is. It's probably seatbelts.
I don't like leather seats on anything because no matter what or how fancy the vehicle is, once it gets hot in there and you sit down on some hot leather, you're just stuck there. You are stuck there forever. Well, you never wear shorts, so you wouldn't know this problem as females, but for the women and some men.
Yeah, above the knees.
Above the knees, you sit down on some hot leather, you are glued to that seat.
So, capabilities on the Everest is designed for both on and off-road use. Like, it's an actual SUV is what I'm getting at.
Okay, but we also have actual SUVs, and how many of them actually go off-road?
What do we got?
Jeep's supposed to be off-road.
What current Ford SUV do we got?
A current Ford?
The Explorer?
Yeah, I was about to say, that doesn't have a frame.
Doesn't have a frame. The engine's the wrong way. Front wheel drive,
mm-hmm.
No frame. That's not an SUV. And I know everyone's like, mine has all wheel drive. That's not full wheel drive. It's different.
It's different.
But yeah, and the Everest towing capacity, 7,700 pounds.
Jeez.
Why don't they sell that here? Like, it's they once pounds. Again, they sell the Ranger. It's based on the Ranger. And they don't have an actual SUV unless you're getting an Expedition, but who has $100,000 for that? They sell this thing. They make this thing. Just sell it here.
It'd be too much power.
It would be too much power.
Can you imagine what people would do with that? My turn. So my next car was the Ford Escort RS Cosworth.
Those are a lot of words.
It is a lot of words.
We did get the Escort.
Or the Escort RS is also what it was known as. It is different from other Escorts, apparently.
Are you saying it's cool?
Yes, it is very cool. It was actually a high performance of the Ford Escort, this was specifically designed for rallying and road use. So it was designed to race and then to go be driven on the highway.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So this is like the perfect car for you.
The Escorts we got weren't even designed to go on the highway.
It's powered by a 2-liter turbocharged engine producing 227 horsepower.
That's right. In a little baby car?
Yeah, in a small, again, rally car that's... can't even imagine. Like, this car just sounds fun to be in. The RS Cogsworth featured a 4-wheel drive system, which also provided excellent traction and handling. Trying to enunciate. The car's body was designed with aerodynamics in mind, featuring a distinctive large rear wing and air intakes.
I know this rear wing.
This looks like a race car, but again, it's not only meant for going on track, but just everyday drive, just driving around town with the kids.
The whale tail wing. It was attached to
is
the
that
roof.
What it's called?
It came off the roof like 3 foot, and it had like a center post. It was the most like ridiculous wing ever.
Yeah.
But it was functional.
Well, yeah. It's rallying heritage. The Escorts Cogsworth was built in... Okay, and I'm totally going to butcher this word. Homologate?
Oh, you nailed it.
Okay, I did.
You nailed it.
Homologate Ford's rally car for Group A competition. Now, we've spoken about the difference between Group A and Group B. Group A is the more sensible ones, right?
The Group B got banned in the 80s because everyone died.
Okay, that's what I thought. I remember you telling me. So Group A was definitely
group
for
B
like...
Group B is rad.
You want to do some Googling, go YouTube Group B rally race videos.
Yeah, and you'll be like, holy crap. Like, the Group B was insane.
They are totally nuts. You'd fit right in.
I don't think I could do it. I'd be one of the dead people.
I'd
be like...
You're not allowed to. They achieved significant success in rallying, winning several World Rally Championship events, actually.
Yes.
They are championship holders. The production and collectability of the cars. So they did mass produce these, but they only made a little over 7,000 of them.
Good luck finding one.
Yeah, so not a whole lot were built, but just enough to qualify that, yes, they were mass produced.
Yeah. Like, yes, this is an actual production car and not a race car.
Yeah, but now...
Just kidding.
Yeah, but now making it... Because, again, not so many were produced, they are counted as rare and collectible cars now. Being that it is a rarity and a performance and has rally heritage, it's just a highly sought-after collector's item. Like, everybody over in Europe wants one of these. The road-going version. So, the road-going version of the Escort Cogsworth, Cogsworth. Features a more comfortable interior. So they built it.
So it's like carpet.
Yeah, they wanted this thing to be fancy on the inside, just as fancy as it was on the outside. Oh my goodness, I lost my spot. This car is an iconic car that combines performance, rally, heritage, collectability, and it's a beloved car. Everybody
big
loves
old honking turbo.
Everybody wants it. Everybody wants to have fun, and you know.
I want one.
Yeah, it's a timepiece.
This car came out back when, like, turbo lag was a thing.
Turbo lag?
Yeah.
I don't even
you
know.
You had to wait, like, the turbo on it was so big, you had to wait for it to spool up. Like, oh, they're so rad. But yeah, if anyone has an Escort Cogsworth,
please send
let
us
me
pictures.
Let me have it. Or send us pictures, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
The one British person listening to this. Like, someone, like, found this overseas and was like, this is it. We're tuning in.
So, it would be over 25 years, though, right?
Yeah, you could import it. Yeah, I bet could. Tim Allen has one.
No, I bet,
OJ Leno. Jay Leno, probably. Well, Tim Allen has an RS200, and that's a story for another day. That's that's the another cool Ford we didn't
say,
get.
Do we need to do Tim Allen's car collection?
That's actually a good idea. Yeah, yeah, he got an RS200, which was a Group B homologation Ford.
He found a pieced together Group B rally car?
Well, the RS200, I think they only made like 300 of them. Oh. And he has one. And then, like, he got in trouble, and they're like, you can't drive this. He's like, oh, cool. I guess I'll just put it in my garage.
He can't drive it on the road?
That's what they say.
I was about to say, why? If he had all the paperwork.
L.A.
They're the...
You telling me this antique...
environment.
You tell me this antique doesn't meet smog?
We're polluting the environment.
Yes.
Yes, because cars is totally what's polluting the environment, not all the factories that you bougie housewives are getting your clothing products from that are dumping disgusting chemicals and whatnot into the ocean.
You heard it here first. It's you.
It's people. It's not the cars.
Well, thank you for tuning in. This was... Once again, we didn't have a name. This is Cool Fords.
You're cutting it too early.
Am I cutting it too early?
You are cutting it too early.
I'm cutting it too early?
Yes. I still have two cars.
You still have two cars?
I still have two cars to do. What are you doing?
Oh, then do another car.
I still have a Ford Territory and a Ford Bantam. Are you out of cars already?
Heck yeah, I'm out of cars.
Well then I would have kept going. Okay, sorry. He messed up.
Sorry, technical difficulties. Do one more car. Which
one's
cooler?
You're the technical difficulty. I don't know. What do you think? The Ford Territory or the Ford Bantam?
Yeah, you do them both.
Do them both?
We'll edit out the lame one.
So we'll edit out his part, right?
Wait, you're telling me these Ford Ranger-based vehicles aren't cool?
Okay, so the Ford Territory, it is territory, right?
I don't know. I've never seen one. I've never heard of it.
Am I pronouncing that word right?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Okay. The design and production, the Ford Territory is a mid-sized crossover SUV built by Ford, the Australian Ford branch. It was only built in Australia. And it was between 2004 to 2016. It was designed by Simon Butterworth. No, Butterworth.
Simon Butterworth.
Butterworth.
Ooh.
So the exterior
is so the terrible.
Outside, so the outside
I just
of the car,
Googled it. Good Lord.
Well, no, the outside of the car was designed by one guy, and the inside of the car was designed by Marcus Hot Black. These European people have the craziest names. With a unique design inspired by the North American freestyle Taurus X. So they tried
also,
to base their
so
design off of.
They said, this is a terrible car. We want our own terrible car.
They saw what we had and they wanted to make it.
The Taurus X, only available for 2 years because no one wanted it.
Sounds about right.
Let's make our own based off of it.
The Territory was produced in Broadmeadows, Melbourne, and they made over 178,000 of these vehicles, manufactured during its 12-year production run. That's a lot of those cars to make. That's a lot of those ugly cars
The new one looks a lot better than the first picture that shows up. The first picture that shows up, it's like... It's like you described a Ford Taurus X to a deaf person.
Its features and specifications. The Territory came in rear wheel drive.
I take back everything I said about
and
this.
And in all wheel drive configurations with a range of engines, including the petrol engine. That's how they say gas over there. oh my goodness, you might have to read these numbers off. I don't know any of that lingo.
Oh, I completely take back everything I said about this. It came with a Barra? What?
Is that what that is?
What? Okay, this
so
thing is awesome.
A 4-liter? Is that what that 4.L is?
Yeah, a 4-liter turbo Barra. Which is
again,
the best engine that we didn't get in the States, but they're like the Ford 2JZ, but better.
There was two different people who designed this vehicle, so the dude who designed
God,
the interior
what a
was
sleeper.
The one who picked out the...
What a... That is awesome.
Yeah. Doesn't look like it'd be like that.
Only an automatic, though. I mean, that fast, though.
The man was about to say
that is awesome. I completely take back everything I said about this.
So they built a mini race car, but it had the seating capacity for 5 to 7 passengers with a flexible interior design where you could fold the seats down, fold them flat, and make it for storage capabilities. It has awards. They have won things, babe. The Ford Territory won several automotive awards, including Australian title of Wheels Car of the Year in 2004.
Mm. Yeah, I mean...
It was also the first SUV to achieve this award thanks to its handling and child caring capability. English isn't my forte. I'm just trying not to let the accent slip. Exports, don't laugh at me, exports and sales. The Territory was exported to countries, to other countries, like New Zealand, South Africa, and Thailand, so everywhere but America. Around 12,000 cars were sold to New Zealand, and around 2,000 cars were sold to South Africa. I'm surprised Top Gear didn't find one of those while they were over there.
Yeah, no, this is like the ultimate sleeper. We didn't get any Barrows over here.
No?
No, no, we didn't get any... Because we get the V6 EcoBoost.
The sales in Thailand were limited due to the high taxes imposed on imported vehicles, which is what we're dealing with right now on high import taxes. Isn't this the reason we went to war the first time, though? Import taxes?
No, we can't. No, that's like about, there's something to do with chickens. Chicken tax.
But that's an import tax. And isn't that the reason we went to war the first time was because of import taxes being too high?
We've gone to war for less.
We ain't going to war now, though, for whatever reason. Safety features. The Ford safety features. It just says that it had airbags and ABS and seatbelts, which is, wow. Isn't that pretty standard in other vehicles?
The bare minimum.
Standard safety.
I mean, that makes it even cooler, though.
I was about to say, that's more than your truck has.
I mean, the dangerous stuff is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it for that one. And am I doing the Bantam, or you want me to end it on this?
Are we out of time? 5 minutes. Bonus round. Raven has another vehicle.
I do.
That sounds way cooler than the Territory.
Well, you underestimated
that.
So the Bantam, and isn't that also named after a chicken?
It's a baby chicken. Well, a small chicken.
And the vehicle itself is also small. The Ford Bantam was a pickup truck produced in South Africa from 1983 until 2011. It was based off of the Ford Escort and later the Ford Fiesta platform. So if you know what a Ford Fiesta, which everybody should, it's the itty-bitty little car.
This thing is rad.
It is ugly.
It's ugly, but it's sick. This thing is awesome.
It's a bubble pickup.
Okay, so it's a Ford Fiesta with a 6-foot bed. A two-door.
Is it a 6-foot?
It looks like it's a big old bed on that thing.
Yeah, normally, why is it in America we only get the 4-foot beds? Why can't we have a full-size bed to carry a sheet of plywood? Like, none of the pickups are big enough. None of the new pickups are big enough to fit lumber anymore. You can't fit anything in the back of those things.
I don't get, yeah, how come we don't get a Ford van? That's awesome. It's literally, yeah, it's like it's a Ford, picture a Ford Focus with two doors and a 6-foot bed.
I don't like how they made it all bubbly. Why do they keep making them round?
Oh, look at that. Is that the new one? That's rad.
The Bantam was designed to be a rugged, versatile vehicle suitable for both work and leisurely activities. Ooh. Some of its features and specifications. The Bantam came in various trim levels, including the XLT and Freestyle. No idea what that means.
No one knows what XLT means.
Just not even large.
Ford. No, you could ask Ford that. We have no idea what that means.
Some smart guy slapped that label on there and just said, okay.
Like these.
It featured a range of engine options, including petrol and diesel engines. So it's gas and gas.
No, diesel are different.
It's gas and gas. Petrol is gas. So it came with a gas motor, a normal gas motor, and it came with a diesel motor.
Yeah.
Which is strong gas.
just strong gas.
You don't want to put diesel.
I'm running low on the strong gas.
Well, I know if I put diesel in my car that doesn't take strong gas, it break it. Because it's too strong for my car.
No, that's not how that works, but...
No? Didn't you tell me one time if I put diesel in my car on accident, it'd blow it up?
Yes. No, because diesel's a different type of fuel. Diesels don't have spark plugs.
I figured it was just strong gas.
No. I think it's the opposite of strong gas. It.
Oh, well.
It's a less gassy type of gas.
So it's like watered down gas?
It's not as...
It's weird. Then why is it more expensive?
Exactly, because it's less refined than gas. I don't know why diesel is more expensive, because it shouldn't be.
It's all a conspiracy. Continuing, the Bantam had a payload capacity of 715 kilograms, or for you Americans, 1,576 pounds, depending on the model.
1,500 pounds.
1,500 pounds, depending on
the
model.
Wow, that thing's teeny.
Its popularity and legacy of the Ford Bantam made it known all over South Africa. It was also known for its durability and reliability. It was widely used for both commercials and personal use, including farming, construction, and recreation. The Bantam has a loyal following in South Africa, with many owners modifying and customizing their vehicles. Jesus, I can't speak correctly. Sadly, the Ford Bantam was discontinued in 2011 when Ford South Africa decided to focus on more modern and efficient models. So the Ford South African branch was like, yes, this is a great car and everyone loves it. We're going to stop making it and do something else.
That sounds about right.
Like, that don't make no sense, but all right. It's like, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
Like, why? The Bantam's legacy lives on, however, with many owners and enthusiasts continuing to find and modify and restore these vehicles. So it's like, yes, they stopped selling them, but people are like...
People love them.
They love them. They're not willing to let them die and just go to the graveyard. The Bantam is a beloved vehicle in South Africa, known for its ruggedness, versatility, and reliability. Its popularity endures, and even after its discontinuation, with many owners and enthusiasts celebrating its unique characters and capabilities.
That was fantastic. I hope we all learned something today.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that they put Berras in little SUV things, and I really
in
want
Europe.
One.
In Europe.
Yeah.
In Europe.
Yeah, so... Thanks for listening. If there's any Ford CEOs out there, you should sell cool stuff over here.
Stop selling things that break way easier than the stuff that didn't break.
Stop selling cool stuff to other people.
That too.
Thanks for listening to The Toolbox. This is 97.7 WVFF. Y'all have a great evening.
Keep it cranking.
I want a Berra. Bye.
We thank you for staying tuned to The Toolbox. If you missed it, not to worry. You can always find it over on WVFFradio.com. Thanks for staying tuned to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM, The Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.